went on for another 5 or 6 minutes, and they came back. But a couple of things. I did ask Ben how come he didn't jump around like that, and he said he didn't have the shoes. So, but it that was in Bahal, which you'll see some pictures. Scott's going to pull up and rotating through some pictures from our trip. I'm not going to speak other than to introduce. We took the trip. We left here July 10th. We returned July 27th. And the time that was the actual, some of it was getting to see and understand the culture. Part of it, a good chunk of it, was actual ministry in different areas. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, the ministry that we did. We won't talk about the white sand beaches and the incredible service in the upscale hotels, but or the buffets that we buffed out on. And so we're going to start at, which one of you wants to go first? Mr. Amato wants to go first, and he's going, each one of Amato, Linda, and Debbie are going to share their part of what they experienced and what they did on the trip, and then I'll bring it all together in the end. All right, Mr. Amato, here's the mic.
First of all, talking in front of people, it's not, absolutely not for me. But, you know, I was asked to do...
They sympathize with you.
I this is not really for me, but I will try what I can. First of all, we thank Ben for giving us a ride to the airport and pick us up again when we came back. And the very first Sunday when we came back, Pastor Doug already shared our experience in the Philippines. And the four of us also shared our experience downstairs on Thursday night Bible study. And when it was my turn to talk a little bit about my personal experience, I just noticed that when I was about almost done, almost finished of talking about my experience, I just noticed clearly that there were some indication that some of the people are, I can tell through their action that I talk too long. So I stopped, but actually I didn't talk very long. It's probably about 20 minutes or a little more. And so four of us have the same experience when we went to the Philippines, because we were all together at the same place and at the same time. And maybe the only difference is what each of us our personal experience of how we really feel on the experience that we encountered. and they can speak for themselves. They can speak for themselves about what they actually experience. And I will talk about mine again today because I was asked to do so. And I feel like we're really making this a really big production, a big event, or because we're showing it in such a very dramatic way. And I agree that we have to that is a good idea to share our what we learned and what we experienced during the trip. And Linda, Debbie, and Pastor Doug will also tell their side of the story today, and of what they learned and what they accomplished. And here's mine. I learned a lot during the trip, and I know what to do the next time I go back. I cannot really say in detail because I don't to save time. There are three people will still talk after me. I think I have accomplished two little things. First, I give little money to two groups of people, those people that are starting a little business, and I know how it. I know I have a little business myself, and their problem is really to raise money, and I have a little money during that time, so I give those two groups a little money, that maybe they can grow their business and be successful, and to get out of poverty, and in extreme poverty on some of them. And I really understand their situation because I was exactly one like them when I was still there in the Philippines for 33 years. And so I really feel for them. And okay. And those group of people were very respectful. They are very hospitable. In spite of the little resources they have, they are very willing to share of the best that they can have. And these people are the product of Wade and Sharon Segrest. They are doing a very good ministry there in the Philippines, teaching people about morale and about their health, and especially then they will come into introduce Jesus Christ to them. And those people were very receptive. And this couple, for me, they were really doing a very outstanding job on the ministry that they're doing under IMB, the International Ministry Board. And I also very thankful to God for Sam and TC in Bohol. For a warm welcome, their hospitality, their generosity, their loving kindness, providing us food and staying on their beautiful home. And one day they make time to give us a very fantastic excursion around the island, and that was very good. And I hope DB and Doug enjoyed that trip. And and I love it, and I'd rather be with people that are humble. It makes me comfortable and more compassionate to help them on the things that they really need, if I can afford it and if I agree with it also. And second, I was able to and I have two little accomplishments that I think I did. I was able to gave 3 boxes of Bible, and we run out of time, so I didn't really have the time to give it to people. And there were still some left there, and I know that Wade and Sharon will give the rest of them, and I really trust those couple. The Bible really changed my life, and I know for sure that it could also change people's lives, especially for those who understand and accept the Word of God. Giving Bible away is really something I consider that I'm good at, because I am very willing to use my own resources, and this is the core of my God's ministry that I will be doing in the future. The Lord blessed me so much with a good wife, a good 3 children, a lot of good friends here and other places, and also my retirement lately, and some wealth that I have now. It's not very much, but I'm very content. I'm very content and satisfied with what God had provided me and my family. The Word of God, or the Bible, for me, is our guide of how to live our life. And that's the main reason why I like to give Bible away. My prayer, my desire is to serve God well for the rest of my life. Serving God for me is the most dignified job anybody can have. I really encourage everybody to go for it if they want to. I was inspired of the first missionary trip I have in the Philippines lately, and God willing, I would like to do it again. Thank you very much.
I feel your pain. Good morning. I would like to share that the Cebu mission trip really started 34 years ago. 34 years ago, Amado was inspired. To read the Bible. And now, how amazing is it that the Lord has opened his heart and he now is focused in providing Bibles. You know, we didn't really share what we're going to say, so that was kind of like a wow moment for me. So the very first day we arrived in Cebu, what did Amado do? The hotel receptionist got a Bible. Okay, here are the words here is the word that I describe: humble. Humble. H, a very heartwarming trip. U, unbelievable trip. M, of course, a very memorable trip. And B, what a blessing to be around such great Christian people, and even to be around Debbie and Pastor Doug, and the loving people that we met, and the engaging with one another between the Boost team leaders and the trainees. My spiritual journey is nothing compared to what these young adults, ages late teens to mid-40s, what they have given up. Boost, is short for Barangay, which is a small town, out-of-school training teams. I am in awe and amazement of how these young adults sacrificed worldly comfort, potential fame, luxuries, and the possibilities of high-paying professions just to go out in the remote areas to share God's word. I would describe them as agriculturists, teachers, and disciples. Through agriculture, the trainees are able to utilize the natural resources around them, and with the seed money that's provided, the trainees acquired husbandry, animals like pigs, chickens, goats, cows, and even rabbits. And to be self-supporting, but most especially, the trainees are practicing godly values that they learn about the Bible. We traveled from town to town, island to island, sometimes waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And through the travels, we were able to hear the trainees, how they shared their testimonies, that they are now reading the Bible. They're sharing their faith with family members who were not really, into the program. And as simple as just having more than they've ever dreamed of. And you're talking about just food on the table. It's such a blessing for the Boost team to go to these remote areas. So we started out, we obviously met Wade and Sharon Sigrist. I was given the task to talk about nutrition, hygiene, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Well, July is Nutrition Month in the Philippines, and high blood pressure and diabetes are the two common diseases that are affecting the Filipino population, even here in Ketchikan, actually. So, piece of cake, right? Because I'm a nurse. I should know all that stuff. But it was not a piece of cake. Like Amado, I do have a hard time speaking to a group of people, and it was way beyond my comfort zone. So we visited three schools, a jail, and we spoke to Surrenderee's program that the president started. And it is a way of the, the drug dealers and the drug users to surrender themselves and turn their lives around. Otherwise, you might fall in another consequence, like get killed. So each place we went, we introduced ourselves. So usually I would introduce myself as, I'm here to support Amado. But it was ironic because it was actually Amado who supported me. As I remember the first time I stood in front of a bunch of students, I was so nervous. But after I spoke, Amado had such inspiring words and compliments that those were my driving force in the next schools and talks that we attended to. And the most important thing was that God really guided me as he gave me wisdom to identify and recognize the resources that were available in each town and to teach them how to apply it in their lives. So what affected me the most in the whole trip was the visit to the jail. So most of you know my experience is 25 years in prison nursing. Seeing the prison condition was just unbelievable. The prisoners have to schedule sleep time because they're not able to sleep at the same time due to overcrowding. Our prisoners here don't know what overcrowding means. They need to go to a prison that really has overcrowding. And they put a cardboard board on the floor that they sleep on. They don't have cots. And what was so touching for me was one of the prisoners reached over behind the bar because there was an electric fan that was on, and he turned that electric fan around so it was facing us. So he sacrificed that nice cool wind for us. So my encouragement to this, to the prisoners, which I have encouraged some of our prisoners here, is the problem that they have is they're good people, but they had just made poor choices, and some of them had made them over and over again. So why was it humbling? This mission trip made me aware and recognize how fortunate my life has been. I am embarrassed to say I have an overflowing of a necessary worldly stuff, and I think most of you can relate to that. I saw and witnessed people who had just the bare minimum, but their lives are filled with love and passion to each, just to share God's word. It truly was a blessing to be surrounded by Christians who are following God's work. Thank you.
This is a piece of cake after all the places we spoke in the Philippines. I was supposed to share this morning before No Longer Slaves, but I will share now. Before we left on the Sunday, July 9th, Ben didn't know it, but he played that song, No Longer Slaves. And those words really stuck with me. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And you might say, okay, so what does that mean? For me, going to the Philippines was never even a remote thought. But it's something that God wanted me to do, and so I went. In Galatians 4:7, it says, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through Christ. And also in Romans 8:15, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. And so, as we boarded the plane on Ketchikan, I was still very fearful. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, this is so hard. I don't want to do this, but I know I need to do this. And so I asked God to let this be my song and my verses for the trip. And I remember something Helen said when she spoke about her trip to India, having a thankful list. And so I said, okay, Lord, help me every day to find something to be thankful for. And he did. And I'm telling you, what she said, it improves your attitude greatly. It really does improve your attitude. And many of you who know me know I don't like heat. In fact, I'm hot this morning with a sweater on. I don't like snakes. I don't like bugs or geckos. But God was so gracious. There were some there. But sometimes when they would say, oh, there was a snake on the road, I'm just thinking, okay, I'm not going to look. Because what I don't see won't bother me. There was only a few freak out moments for me. One was in our hotel room. There was one up in the corner of the room. I think there was one greeted Linda at the door. I heard her scream. And Doug, of course, he went to sleep because he lived in Guam and Gecko, no big deal. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I really need some help here because I know that that gecko is up there in the corner. And I need to go to sleep because we have to get up very early, as Linda already shared. God was really gracious. He helped me to get through it. And I tried not to look too many places, so I wouldn't see anything. Every night, except for one, we had air conditioning, which I am so thankful for. And a funny story, when we were in Bahal, Sammy and Tessie were so worried about us because they didn't have electricity. And so Sammy kept saying, are you sure you don't want to go to one of the resort areas that has electricity? I said, no, we're in for the whole thing. We came to see you. We're fine. You know, God is going to get us through this. Somewhere in the middle of the night, we went to sleep. We had these fans that we would do this until that arm got tired. Then we would try the other arm. But somewhere we went to sleep, and Sammy and Tessie came up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're also on log, so to tell us that the air conditioning was back on, but we apparently went to sleep. The subject I talked on in the Philippines was the subject of prayer, which is near and dear to my heart. It's not so much that I know everything about prayer, but I understand the vital importance of prayer and have experienced the power of prayer in my own life. I thought I was going to be talking to ladies or prayer walking with a missionary's wife, but God had other plans. I have never in my life talked to so many people. We went to, I think, 3 different schools, and I can't remember how many boost teams and how many trainees of the boost program that we talked to, and people, the surrenderees, and people in the jail. And it was really different because most of the time, I didn't know what they were saying. Amato usually would share right before me, and he was usually speaking in a dialect that I didn't know. I could catch a few words here and there, but it was very interesting because I just had to try to, you know, say, okay, Lord, help me to know what to say. And every time I shared something completely different. according to the situation or what the students had shared. What I talked about with prayer at the different groups, I shared how that I was a miracle, that I was born 2.5 months early. I weighed only 2 pounds, 4 ounces, and that I should not have lived. There was that was before neonatal care, and that God had a plan for my life and a purpose for my life. I shared about praying for the person I was supposed to marry and how God sent me Doug. And I knew it was God because I had prayed. I told about praying for our sons and their wives and our grandchildren. And one of the things I shared with them was that it wasn't my deepest desire that they be successful and have lots of money and have lots of fame as they grew up, but I wanted them to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, and with all their strength. And that has been mine, along with Doug's, deepest desire for our boys. One of the schools I shared about the loss of our son, Dennis, and how God brought us through that experience and his faithfulness. I don't know if everybody could understand, but there was one girl in particular that as I shared that, her eyes got misty. And I don't know what God did with that. But all I could attest to is the ways that God has answered prayer in my life. One of the boost teams, my other freak out moment was when we went to this boost team in the evening. When we arrived, it was dark. I could not see the ground. I did not want to get out of the car. The missionary's wife, she had a phone, and I had the same flashlight on my phone, but I wasn't thinking very clearly. So she shined her flashlight on the ground so that I could see what was on the ground as I was walking through this deeper grass. It was very, very petrifying for me because I couldn't see what was on the ground. I didn't want anything running across my foot. I'm sure I would have survived, but you know, when you're afraid of something, it doesn't make any sense to you. You can't make any sense out of it. You're just afraid. But it was at this meeting that we went to that one of the young men shared how he had become a Christian through this boost training and how he had been persecuted by his family because he was not the same religion they were anymore. And he lived with that persecution for 3 years. But what really struck me is how he prayed for his family for 3 years. And to this day, his family believe in God. And I thought, oh God, that we would have that kind of tenacity to pray for people who we know that don't know Christ, that we would care enough to pray for them and not give up. The thing that touched me the most is when we went to Bohol. Doug played the video during the offertory. One of the songs that they sang at the church we went to that where Pastor Kim is, and Sammy and Tessie and Ray and Nita, they support that church there. They sang the song, "As we gather, May your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. And then they continued singing. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. And I can't explain what it was like to be there that Sunday morning and feel the presence of God so strongly. I was so overcome with the Spirit of God in that place that I had tears just running down my face, and I didn't care. Which is not me. I don't like to cry in front of people, but I really did not care. The tears were just, it was so healing. It touched a place so deep in my heart that I was so blessed because I came. And I'm just so grateful that God led me to go on the mission trip to the Philippines, despite all my fears. And I think I'm changed forever because of it. As Linda Amato said, you can't experience something like that and not change you. Anyway, thank you.
I feel a little bit when you saw the picture of the mom pig and all the little piglets. I feel a little bit like that piglet on the end, hoping that there's something left. They did such a fine job sharing. You probably have noticed that I don't have that same apprehension of speaking in front of people. But going to a land that was substantially warmer and a lot more humid was a real challenge. There was a day where when I lived in Guam, first I was younger and I was substantially smaller. I wasn't carrying an insulated pack around with me called Inside My Body. It was amazing what took place. Let me share several little things and I'm going to bring this to a close. Number one, God is not interested in your comfort. Not in the way we think of comfort. He doesn't care whether you like public speaking or not. He doesn't care whether you feel like you have anything to share or not. He doesn't care if you think what you did made a difference or not. But he does care if we do what he says. And his command to his church is to go. It's not to stay. We function on the all come, and he says, no, you go. And that's really what those boost teams were about. They had barangay out of school training, those teams of people, and they were. Some were still in their teens, hopefully thinking in their heart, maybe the young men, that through all this ministry, God would bring a young woman into their life that would come to know Christ and they could mentor together. But they surrendered a valuable time in their life when they could have been working and developing careers. And then you had some who'd been doing it for a while longer, who were just had determined that this was their life purpose. They would always be poor. Now, when we got back, when we talked about the poverty we encountered, we heard some comments about there's poverty in the U.S. And this, let me say, it's apples and oranges. There is so much abundance available in our country. There are some people who don't get to eat. That's because they're not even willing to walk across town or across the street to get food. Model made a comment once while we were down in Sogood, and these men had been doing some fishing, and we were walking away, and Model had known them, and we shared with them. He said the difference is they are not fishing to catch fish. They're fishing for dinner. They're fishing for food. They're not doing this because it's relaxing and enjoying. They're not doing this to try to make a living. They're just trying to eat. And that was, it's kind of strange in my mentality to think about people who really don't know what they're going to have for supper and are scrounging to put it together. Now, all of the island's not like that. The city is quite a bit different. There's a lot more available, and there's a lot of ministries that feed people, including stuff that Wayne and Sharon Sigrist do. But when you go rural, everybody's pretty much on their own, unless something brings them together, which is what those boost teams did. They went into the community, and instead of saying, y'all come to our meeting, they went and interacted with people to basically provide three things. First was they wanted to help them to know you can grow food, you can raise animals, which you can eat, and if you are able to have a little excess, you can sell so that you have money to buy other things. So they tried to help them economically. They also tried to go in with some nutrition and health and guidelines how to improve their lives physically, teaching them how to take care of themselves, personal hygiene, about some of the things that Linda had so adequately covered with them about diabetes and blood and high blood pressure. And you know, anybody know what the number one food in the Philippines is? Rice. You know what rice is? Carbohydrate. You know what a carbohydrate is? It's sugar in disguise, right? So, you know, Linda so adequately pointed out to them that you're taking all of this, and then they you know, they have some stuff with sauces that have sugar, and then everything they eat also is saturated with salt, whether it be their fish or their, you know, and so she said the very diet that you're doing is killing you. And high blood pressure and diabetes is rampant. And then these teams bring out, but you have an abundance of food that is great for you all around you. You have all these fruits, you have all these vegetables. So they began to, and they work with them and teach them how to do that, teach them how to take care of themselves, about cleansing themselves and things like that. And then the third component, which is very important, is they talk about moral values. But what they mean by that, they talk about the Word of God. They read about moral values from the Word of God. People who have never read the Bible their entire life are following along in the Bible in their beginning. And what happens is as they read the Word of God, they begin to read the stories about Jesus. As they read the stories of Jesus, He begins to quicken in their heart, and they find out that God's not interested in a religion as we think of religions, but as a relationship. About them knowing Him and Him knowing them and that relationship being put together and the tremendous success they have in people who give their life to Christ is amazing. It is amazing to listen to their testimonies. And I was with Debbie just awed with a young man who was actually part of the boost team, but he had been reached through one of the boost teams whose own family hated him. Because he had decided to become a follower of Jesus Christ and began to read the Bible. Yet he absorbed their punishment and loved them in return. Does that sound like a message that we need in our country today? You know, we seem to think when anything negative comes our way, we are justified in lashing out. But Jesus said, no, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the left also, or the opposite way. And it was amazing to watch it work. And then as he told the story about his family coming to know Christ and committing their lives to follow Him. And let me say this. There's a lot of difference between praying a prayer and committing your life to follow Jesus Christ. Just think about this. Ask yourself this question. Some of the activities of your life, would you really say that you're following Jesus? Because how much of our day are we to follow Him? Sunday mornings, 11 to 12:30 or 10 to 11:30. When we get up and we say our prayer before we eat, or is it not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year until He comes or He calls us to Him? Either way. And so, these teams were just amazing as they were pouring them out. And here's something. I went and I had a different job. My job was to be the theological backstop. In other words, when people have questions, that was my job. And the most of the questions came from the boost teams themselves. They're laboring for the kingdom of God. They're giving all that they have, yet there are questions about the Bible that just stunned them. They didn't know how to answer them. And so my job was to answer that. Funny story related to that. We had been talking about swimming and learning to swim, and I made the comment, well, you could just pitch a person off the boat into the ocean, and they would learn to swim, or they'd sink. And so that conversation, we were having dinner. You'll see there's a picture where we're all sitting around table having dinner. And one of the men, his name was Neil, asked me a question, and I don't even remember what it was, but I began to answer. And he stopped and said, "Sir Doug," he said, "your English is very deep, and I'm not swimming." And then another one said, "Sir Doug, my English is a little sick today," because they were trying to explain something and I didn't understand what they were saying. The tremendous joy in the extreme poverty that these people were in touched my heart. And let me just say this. It will never touch you to the depth it touched me by listening to me talk about it. It will never touch you to the depth that it touched all four of us by watching an International Mission Board video. The only time that you will ever be touched to the depth that we were touched is when you get out of your comfort zone, you go somewhere or commit, even in this town, dedicated time to get out of what is familiar and engage in the lives of people. One of the things that was so, so strong, and it kind of overwhelms this whole thing, the most effective ministry that took place was where they went to the people, met the people where they are, dealt with their current situation, and began to lead them into a better life and talk to them about Jesus. I just would suggest to you that we in Western Christianity are all messed up. We want people to dress up and come here and join in our program. But I encourage you to read your New Testament and calculate how much ministry Jesus did in the temple and how much he did out in the country. And we still have the temple mentality. We want you to come to the temple. Interesting thing, when we leave here today, we're going to be all over this community, from the south to the north. And so when we leave with the potential of being hands and feet and arms and love of Jesus Christ over the entire community. I think it would be much healthier if we would learn that this is the place where we come to celebrate. This is not the place of work. We work when we leave and come back and celebrate what God has done. If you've never been in the tropics, you are in for a rude awakening. And we went during the cool season. No, I didn't get sunburned because the sun wasn't out that much. It actually, we went in the rainy season, it didn't even rain that much. And no, the mosquitoes didn't eat me alive. I only got bit once, but not by a mosquito, by one of those biting flies. And that fly paid for it with his life. How many of you can identify with Debbie and Linda and Amato? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we're a slave to our fears. When God says, you're not a slave, you're a son. And no longer allow yourself to be bound up, to be afraid of people. But when you go, go with me, and I'll show you the way. Walking away from this, new relationships, I've been in correspondence almost daily with people back there, encouraging, writing, doing whatever I can do. People are what the kingdom is about. And God loves people. And if we love God, guess what we're going to do? We're going to love people. And love is most best spelled T-I-M-E. We're going to arrange our time so that we have time to invest in people. I hope that you'll think about that. I hope that you'll allow yourself time to meet with Debbie or Linda and Amato and talk more about what they experienced. They get really nervous. I don't. But their hearts were filled. They would love to tell you what God did. And I want to challenge you. Begin praying today, Lord, I want to go. Show me where you will send me. Lord, I want to go. Lord, show me where you will send me. Because you know what? There are endless places in this world to go. Did you know that there are missionaries in North Korea serving in secret, reaching out to the common people of North Korea, trying to show them the truth of Jesus Christ and the way of love? Do you know that? You can't talk about it because you mentioned their name, they're dead. But they put their life at risk, some of them, with their families. And put their whole family's life at risk simply because the master said, go. So I hope you'll consider that. I hope you'll think today, Lord, how do I get up and go and make a difference? For me, Cebu made absolute positive sense because God is so well connected. What we do here at First Baptist Church and through the Filipino Fellowship that meets downstairs with the island, the Visayas Islands, the Cebu and all those surrounding islands. And so with that connection, I went. My wife was wishing me well until God got a hold of her and she went. And Linda and Amato, while they had a natural connection to the people, had an unnatural connection to the ministry part. And God worked in us. By the way, if you really want to know how well you get along with someone, spend 2.5 weeks with them. If you come home friends, that's a big deal. Because, it was all day long. But it was incredible. And to watch what God did through their lives and through our lives to touch the hearts of people and how God opened us up to what he can do when we are willing.